Franklin Township Board of Education will now come to order. Time, 7:32. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through the annual public notice on January 5th, 2017, faxing to three newspapers designated by the Board, the Hunterdon Democrat, the Hunterdon Review, and the Express Times. Also posting on the district website, the main bulletin board, the administrative offices, and in each Clinton Township school. And finally, faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Mr. Gagliardi, do you take roll call?
You can take roll call, and then I'm going to, let's do the secretary first.
Okay, Mr. Gagliardi?
All right, so as you may notice this evening, the board does not have the board secretary present. And so the first order of business has to be the election of a secretary pro temp. Sounds like a cool title. All it means is that someone who is going to be authorized by the board to take and submit the minutes for this evening's meeting and to act as the secretary during the course of the meeting. So if someone would be willing to volunteer for that role, we're going to have a motion, a second, and a roll call. Is anyone willing to volunteer for that role?
I would.
So we have a volunteer. Can someone make a motion to grant this volunteer?
Motion.
Motion, Sue.
Sue has made a motion?
Second.
Second, Rachel.
Why, thank you.
Okay. We can do all those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, so the board has unanimously selected secretary for the day.
Yahara.
Yahara, congratulations. Update your Facebook page immediately. Secretary for the day.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam President.
Thank you. Take roll call, please. Mrs. McLaughlin?
Present.
Mrs. Demmerly? Mrs. McHugh?
Here.
Mrs. Miller?
Here.
Mr. Malloy?
Here.
Mrs. Olkowski?
Olowski? She said, it's new.
Here.
Olowski.
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 Olowski. Mrs. Rodogata?
Here.
Thank you. And Mrs. Vanderoff?
Here.
Thank you. Mrs. Miller, can you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Sure.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Mrs. McLaughlin, would you please be the process starting for the meeting this evening?
Yes.
Thank you. I'd like to move on to the report of superintendent schools. Dr. Valani, your report, please.
Thank you. First, we were scheduled to have a fall athletics presentation this evening. We postponed that to next month so that the students are not coming out in the weather. Our enrollment report as of January 3rd is 1,335 students. Suspension report, four at CTMS, eight at, nine at Round Valley. We also have eight HIB first readings this evening. And board recognition, New Jersey School Board Recognition Month is in the month of January. New Jersey's local boards of education play an essential role in our students' lives. They oversee 581 school districts, which in turn operate 2,500 public schools and provide educational services to nearly 1.4 million children. They set policies for our schools and make important decisions affecting curriculum, financing, and staffing. New Jersey's 5,000 local school board members devote countless hours with no compensation to the oversight and advancement of our children's education. January 2017 is the 16th annual School Board Recognition Month in New Jersey, a time to raise public awareness of the roles and responsibilities of local boards of education and to thank our community school board members for their efforts. So to each of our board members, I'd like to thank you for your service to the Clinton Township School District and especially to our students. I have a certificate of recognition for each of you, which I'll distribute after the meeting.
Thank you.
And then for my monthly report, in the fall, the New Jersey Department of Education announces the Governor's Award for Outstanding Educator of the Year each year. Nominations were accepted in district through December 19th. Committees met in each building the week before the December break. And on Friday, December 23rd, I visited each school and in conjunction with the building administrators, honored each of the recipients. We will formally recognize the recipients at an upcoming board meeting once the county selection process is complete. But for right now, I just wanted to identify the winners for our district for this year. There are two awards through the Governor's Award for Outstanding Educator. One is Teacher of the Year, and the other is Educational Services Professional of the Year. For Teacher of the Year at Spruce Run was Joanne Filas at Patrick McGarren. At Patrick McGarren, Kristen McGray. At Round Valley, Jennifer Pacione. And at Clinton Township Middle School, Sherry Ann Parsh. For the Educational Services Professionals of the Year, at Spruce Run, Lisa Miller. At Patrick McGarren, Karen Sinegra. At Round Valley, Ruth C. And at Clinton Township Middle School, Dawn Houck. So congratulations to everyone, and we look forward to seeing them at an upcoming board meeting. Just a couple other quick items. On Tuesday, January 10th, our 8th grade students, along with Ms. Hammond, visited the high school for an orientation. They got to tour the building and get an understanding of course offerings for next year as they prepare to build their schedules for September already. And then last Thursday night, the Round Valley students had their choral concert. Again, very well received, winter theme, but they really did a fantastic job preparing and performing for us. Just a couple upcoming dates to note. This Thursday, we're having a preschool information night and a kindergarten information night at Spruce Run. It's that time to start registration for September. And just as a reminder, Relay for Life is scheduled for February 24th at the middle school.
Thank you, Dr. Lani. Looking for motion, please, for action item 17-SU-001 to action item 17-SU-012.
Motion.
Alyssa. Second, please.
Second.
Second. Mrs. Miller. Any questions for Dr. Villani this evening?
I do. I'm sorry. In reference to Teacher of the Year at Spruce Run and Patrick McGarren, I'm sorry, who were they again?
I can give them all to AJ.
Excellent. Thank you.
Any other questions for Dr. Villani?
Who motions?
Seeing none.
So, you want to just continue to make the roll call?
Yahara should take it.
Yahara, roll call, please.
Oh, sure. Mrs. Demerol? Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. Olowski?
Yes.
Myself, yes. Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
And Mrs. Grant?
Yes. Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Does she have to keep track of motions?
Exactly.
Yeah. She's got to. Hold on, she's got to keep track of her motion.
So I was just writing that. Olowski was the first motion, and then Miller was the second, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Second, yeah.
Back.
Okay.
If somebody prepared me for this.
I'd like to open the floor to our first public comment section on agenda items only. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw 9322 limits comments to 3 minutes. We will adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair, consistent, and equitable way. Also, the public comment section is for comments made by the public. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This, too, is defined by our bylaw. The board will make note of any questions or comments that a member of the public will make at the microphone. If the Board of Education has an immediate answer to the question or questions, it will be answered at the conclusion of the public comment section. We will gather all questions asked at the podium this evening and then answer them at the conclusion of the public comment section. To the extent any other action or research is warranted, it will be addressed by the Board President or the Superintendent of Schools as appropriate. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you'd like to address the board this evening, please approach the microphone, state your name and address, be limiting this public comment section to 30 minutes. Now, seeing none, we'll then move on to first recognition of the public. I'd like to open the floor to the first recognition of the public, the same guidelines that I provided for recognition of the public on agenda items only apply here as well. If you'd like to address the Board of Education, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section on agenda items only to 30 minutes.
Hi, Sonia Dominakis, 56 Haytown Road. I just wanted to let you guys know, I don't know if anyone was at the Patrick McGarren talent show a couple weeks ago. It was amazing. I was completely floored by the awesome talent of our second and third graders. I have a third grader who was a little bit shy about getting on stage, and he couldn't find a group of kids to go with him. So I convinced him to help him out and do something solo. It was well received, but I also wanted to let you guys know that the second and third graders that were performing in the talent show sat in the first few rows, completely amazing as an audience, totally respectful of their peers on stage. It was a really fantastic job. And I know a few of the parents that were involved in organizing that, specifically Elisa Kaiser and I forget a few of the other names, but the parents that organized that did a super fantastic job, and I just wanted to let you guys know. I don't know if anybody made it to that. It was amazing, and I can't wait to see these guys move up to third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, and then eventually here at the middle school where I'll get a chance to interact with them a lot more. But I just wanted to share that with you guys.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to address the board this evening?
I just want to add that Mr. V always does a great job as the MC.
Okay, moving on then. Like to move to the report of our school business administrator and board secretary. As Mr. Gagliardi said a little earlier this evening, Mr. Juskowitz is not able to be here this evening, so I will give his report. The date of the Board of Education's next regular meeting is scheduled for Monday, February 27th at 7:30 in the auditorium of the Clinton Township Middle School. And we will have this evening a presentation by our auditor, Mr. William Colantano. He will go over our annual audit report when he arrives tonight at 8:30. So with that said, I would like to move action item 17BA019 to action item 17BA022. Looking for a second, please.
Second.
First.
I moved it.
Okay.
And then Sue, second. Any questions?
I'm sorry, yes, real quick. Did you say William Colantano's coming tonight at 8:30?
Tonight at 8:30. Okay. He was at another district earlier tonight, mm-hmm. So he'll be here at 8:30. Any other questions? No, seeing none. May we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Demerl? Mrs. McHugh?
Yes to everything, except I have to abstain from 17BA019.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
I need to, yes to all, but I have to abstain on 17BA019.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Abstain 17BA192021. Yes to the rest.
She wasn't there. She can't say yes to that.
Kathy, you have to abstain on the minutes.
Abstain on the minutes.
Give it a number.
019.
Through 21.
Through 21.
Mrs. Zalowski?
Yes.
Myself, yes. Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes. Motion carries. Thank you. Okay, I'd like to move on to the reports of our committees. The Board of Education has three active committees. First, our Facilities and Finance. Ms. Olowski, is our chair for that committee. Do you please give us your report?
Yes. Good evening, everyone. The Facilities and Finance Committee met once since the December board meeting, and we have 19 action items for this month. Aside from the payment of monthly bills and ongoing maintenance projects, there are a few items that I would like to note. There are several reimbursement requests for seminars, conferences, training courses, and graduate courses. There's an amendment to a prior action item from December 17-FF-140 to reflect a change in the daily rate for an employee of the Morris County Educational Services. It's approximately 90 cents difference. We would like to wish Ms. Ariel Rubano good luck as she has been chosen as the new CTMS Drama Club choreographer. The school district will be applying for a waiver of compliance with regard to participation in the Special Education Medicaid Initiative Program for the 17-18 school year based on revenue projections that we will have fewer than 40 Medicaid-eligible students. We received a $2,500 donation from ExxonMobil and would like to thank them for their generosity. We also received a donation from Mrs. Ford for a $50 gift card to be used for the community-based instruction field trip in March. Thank you very much, Mrs. Ford. With that, I would like to put forth a motion for action item 17-FF-143 through 17-FF-162.
It's action item FF-142.
Did they change?
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. It is 142. Thank you.
So you're moving action item 17FF142 to that action item 17FF162?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Looking for a second, please.
Second.
Ms. Vanderhoff, second. Alyssa? Any questions for Mrs. Olowski?
Quick questions. FF147, 8, and 9, it looks like we're providing contracts for legal services with three separate firms. We've got Adams Gutierrez and Lada Boudier in Newark, DeFrancesco, Bateman, Kunstman, Davis, Laren, Flamin, Warren, and Schwartz, Simon, Edelstein, and Kelso in Whippany. These are for specific engagements?
They are.
Yes. And therefore?
So action item 149 is for negotiations with CTAA. 148 is for negotiations with the CTEA. And 147 is a review of contracts that we have for those two specific firms.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions this evening for Facilities and Finance? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. Olowski?
Yes.
Mrs. Rodolfo? Yes. Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes. Thank you. Motion carries. Moving on to the report of our Personnel Negotiations Committee. Ms. Vanderhoff is the chair of that committee. May we please have your report?
Yes. The Personnel Negotiations Committee did not meet in person, but we did communicate quite a bit since our last meeting. There are 16 action items on the agenda for tonight. First one is 17-PN-126 through 17-PN-141. One of the agenda items relates to approval of the district's biannual statement of assurance regarding our paraprofessional staff. There are also two resignations and one termination noted. One agenda item relates to movement across the salary guide for two of our certified staff members. There are four items that relate
to leaves. Mrs. Vandera, we can't hear you. Can you speak up?
All right.
I've heard you on the soft before.
It can be louder, yes. There are four items that relate to leaves of absence, approvals, and updates for the same. There's one substitute lunch aid appointment. One agenda item relates to approval of seven study buddies for the study buddy program. One agenda item amends a prior motion from our November meeting. There are two agenda items that relate to home instruction and approval for observation hours. One agenda item approves payment for crisis prevention preventative training or prevention training for a staff member. And finally, we have an agenda item that requests approval for sick leave days. So with that, I'd like to ask for a motion for action item 17-PN-126 to 17-PN-141.
Looking for a motion, please?
Motion.
Mrs. McHugh?
Second, please.
Mrs. Olowski? Any questions for Ms. Vanderhoff this evening? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes, I have to, abstaining from PN 130.
Mr. Malloy?
Abstain, PN 130, yes to the rest, please.
Mrs. Olowski?
Yes.
Yes, for myself. Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
And Mrs. Grant?
Yes. Motion carries. Moving on to our final committee report this evening, policy and curriculum. Mrs. McLaughlin is chair of that report. May we have your report, Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes. The policy and curriculum committee met on January 17th. We discussed a number of action items. We have four action items this evening that we will be moving forward. First action item involves an artist-in-residence program. This is a program that we have successfully brought into Patrick McGarren previously. This year, we will be bringing an artist-in-residence in to work with our students at Patrick McGarren on 3 days in March, March 13th, 14th, and 16th. Last year, we were selected as a pilot school for Google Expeditions. If you're not aware what Google Expeditions is, it's similar to virtual reality viewers. The students actually go on virtual field trips anywhere from Egypt to under the sea, and it's really exciting for the kids. It sort of brings everything to life. The neat thing about the viewers is that they can actually turn 360 degrees when they're watching them, and things pop up at them, and it really makes the learning come alive. So we are very proud this evening to be able to support Google Expedition kits for use. They will actually be housed at Round Valley and Clinton Township Middle School, but other schools may have the use to loan them out based on how they set that up. So we're excited by that purchase. We are also approving a Clinton Township Foundation and Excellence project called Designing Solutions for the school year. And we will have three field trips. The grade three classes will be going to the New Jersey State Museum and Planetarium in Trenton. Grade kindergarten will have a in-person field trip. So the actual organization is coming to kindergarten, Eyes for the Wild, learning more about animals. And grade two is going on their annual pilgrimage to Merrill Creek, and hopefully they won't see any bears when they're there. So with that being said, actually before I move the items, I just want to note that since Dr. Villani has been here, she has done a fantastic job of keeping the board updated between curriculum meetings. She has started a board brief. So each week the board gets a synopsis of what occurred in each committee meeting. And so if you have any other questions about policy and curriculum or personnel negotiating decisions, for example, if you're on the board, you can review the board briefs, which have been very helpful. So thank you for doing that. With that being said, I want to move action item 17 PC 31 through action item 17 PC 34.
Thank you, Ms. McLaughlin. May we have a second, please?
Second.
Mrs. Miller? Any questions for Mrs. McLaughlin this evening?
Quick question. Off the top of your head, how many kits?
30 in a kit.
That's pretty great.
And it's awesome.
Yeah, that's neat.
Any other questions? Seeing none, may we please have a roll call?
Sure. Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. Olowski?
Yes.
Yes, for myself. Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
And Mrs. Grant?
Yes. Thank you. Motion carries. We have an ad hoc committee that looks at the feasibility of closing school, and that committee does not have anything to report this evening. I'd like to move on to old business of the board. This portion of the meeting is for board members to ask questions on topics that we've discussed before. Before I ask board members if they'd like to bring up any old topics, I'd like to see if Mrs. McLaughlin has anything to report on the Henry County School Boards.
We have not met. Our next meeting is in February. I believe it's February 23rd. Anyone sitting up here is welcome to join me. There's always free dinner. engage in topics. I think we're going to...
Sorry, what was the date on that?
I think it's February 23rd. I can double check it. It's great for new board members as well. You can meet board members in other towns in Hunterdon County. And I think the next one is on legal updates.
Great. The other outside commitments or liaisonships have not met. School delegate has not met. That only meets twice a year. And ESC has not met either. Do we have any other board members who have old business they would like to bring up? Now, seeing none, I'd like to open the floor for new business. Is there any new business that any board members would like to bring up this evening? No? Okay. Seeing none, and then I'd like to open up the floor to our second recognition of the public. The same guidelines as I read before on our public comment section for agenda items apply here as well. If you'd like to address the board this evening, please step up to the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this second recognition of the public to 15 minutes. No, seeing none, Mr. Gagliardi, can you please read our executive session statement, sir?
Well, I don't think I'm going to read the whole statement. Mm-hmm. I'm going to state the basis for the executive session, as I understand it, from the superintendent and the president, and then ask a board member who is so moved by my words to actually move the motion. So, consistent with the Open Public Meetings Act, the Board of Education needs to go into executive session this evening for the following reasons. There's a matter of personnel. There are pending litigated matters. There are related matters of discussion covered by the attorney-client privilege. And there's the state of the collective bargaining negotiations. The approximate time of that executive session will be a swift 90 minutes.
Swift.
And I would ask for a motion and a second in that regard, consistent with the law. The board will go into executive session only for those stated reasons, and the board will declare that its discussion of the aforementioned subjects will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists.
Can I ask a question?
Motion, Mrs.
What is
McHugh?
The motion?
Second.
Motion. Second. Mrs. McLaughlin?
Did you have a question?
I do.
Oh.
So if Phil is coming at 8:30, does the executive session stop and then we come out and then we can go back in executive session? How does that work?
The expectation is that the board will adjourn the executive session, return to public for the report of your auditor, and then resume the executive session.
Do we have
to
re-vote on going back into executive? When we adjourn executive session, we'll have to restate
you'll
reasons
need,
to
you'll
go
need
back.
You'll need to vote to come out of the executive session and to go back into the executive session.
But we don't need to state the reasons again. We can simply say it's a continuation of the
same. I can do it again if you want me to, but no, you don't have to.
Okay, that's what I did.
Does AJ have to read that all the time then?
We're going to talk about that. Okay, looking for a motion?
Motion.
Mrs. McLaughlin? And a second?
Now you want me to second?
Second.
I thought I was first.
Second, Mrs. McHugh. All in favor?
Aye.
Roll
call.
Roll call?
Roll call,
please. We have a roll call, please?
The first motion was
sure. Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. Olowski?
Yes.
Myself? Yes. Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
And Mrs. Grant?
Yes. Board of Education is now in executive session.
So the second time. What was the second
time? Good evening, and we're back. I'd like to get a motion, please, to reconvene the meeting.
Motion.
Mrs. McHugh?
Second.
We have to do roll call.
I'm sorry, who was the second?
Alyssa. The meeting, Alyssa. The motion should technically be a motion to adjourn the executive session in order to return for public, to have the auditor's report in public. So we're just adjourning the executive session. So we can go back into it, the simple motion.
Okay, looking for a motion to adjourn the executive session. Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Second?
It was Alyssa.
Alyssa? Meeting's back in session. I'd like to take a moment, please, and welcome back a good old friend, Mr. Bill Colantano. Mm-hmm. Mr. Colantano has been our auditor for
a few years,
300 or 400. <Just kidding. laughs> Mr. Colantano, very nice to see you again. Welcome back to Clinton Township.
I brought two guests. I see you need an audience, by the way. Mike is from our office. He's one of the partners. Joe Stott is here. He's the gentleman that did the audit. I'm up here to talk to you guys like every other year. Many years, I understand.
It's nice to see you again.
Thank you. How do you think? Ask them to you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, the handouts are the same handouts from every other year. We just change the numbers and sometimes look at them a little differently. It looks like things are a lot quieter this year than last year. And one of the things that I was going to say in the presentation, that the audit report has like over 100 pages, and there's a lot of information in here that you can use to your advantage as board members, as far as all the positive things that have happened here as far as the school itself and also the taxpayers. And I'm hoping to bring some of those things to light tonight. We tried last year, maybe not that successful, but I went back that and looked at it a little bit differently this year. The pages that I've given you are the three that are probably the most interesting. You all have copies of the audits, I think, in front of you, because there's one or two other pages that I want to highlight that you can use to your advantage also. The first page of my handout is the B2 audit exhibit. And what the B2 exhibit is basically your profit and loss statement. And this, the B2 is the one that's in this audit compared to last year's audit. Now, the presentation, the way it's set up at any rate, is basically a Clinton Township format. A few years ago, you had trouble getting your budgets adopted. And the board members on the Finance Committee at that time, no longer here, wanted a presentation to show to the governing body how things have changed and why, and where our money's coming from and where it's going. So this exhibit was kind of developed. The B2 shows that we ended up with a profit this year of $572,000 compared to the preceding year, which was considerably higher last year. But we've used a lot of our money this year, and I'll explain to you where. But as far as the revenues are concerned, your increase is 1.5%, you're allowed to. Now, the $338,000 sounds like a lot of money. In Clinton Township, every $215,000 represents 1 cent on the tax rate. 1 cent equals $10 on a $100,000 home. Your taxes went up 1.57 cents for the general tax levy, which equates to $15.70 on a $100,000 home. Times five, it's $70 increase if it's a $500,000 home. So that's pretty reasonable, actually. Tuition increased last year because of other school districts sending their tuition in. Decrease in state aid for extraordinary aid. Actually, a decrease in extraordinary aid is to your advantage, because extraordinary aid is given to you because high cost of tuition students out of district. And so if you don't want to have more extraordinary aid, because that means you're spending a lot of money on special needs tuition for those students that are going out of the district. Now looking at your expenditures, instructional area, you're down 6%. Student-related services, you're down almost 2%. Administrative services, you're down. Plant operations, we're going to get back to that one. Plant operations, you're up 18%. Surprisingly enough, health insurance only went up 5% last year as far as student employee benefits. Now look at the area of capital outlay, $1,046,000 last year, $1,121,000 this year. The reason why it's important for me to note these two items, those expenditures last year, much higher than the preceding year, but you had in previous years, and we'll go over to the schedule next, had put money aside, so we had a large outlay of cash for maintenance purposes and capital purposes that cost basically the taxpayers nothing, because you had the money put aside previously. The second page of the handout is your surplus analysis. Now, as far as I'm concerned, the surplus, this is a little bit misleading, if you will, because of the fact of the contract situation that you were in last year at June 30th of 2016. In 2012, we had a surplus of $2,600,000, but we had open encumbrances of $569,000. Those were commitments we had made at that point in time for vendors, for services or product that we had not yet received at June 30th. So we had to put the money aside for that, but it was included in your surplus because of the type of accounting we have. This year, we had $4,800,000 in surplus at the end of June, but we had $2,865,000 in encumbrances. That was primarily money that was set aside for the teachers' negotiations that were paid in the fall. So in reality, you had a surplus of $1,940,000 at the end of June. There was a decrease, but if you remember my comments from the B2 exhibit, we had taken out last year about $1,500,000 for capital-related expenditures and maintenance items. So the surplus is down because we used the money we had the preceding year this year. So even though the surplus went down, we're still sitting with a good position as far as the capital reserve of $800,000, the maintenance reserve still, and your free balance of $520,000. We talked last year, and we probably don't want to talk again this year about it, is the money that's been recorded as pension liability for the PERS employees, the Public Employees Retirement System people. That's your maintenance staff, your secretarial. Clinton Township has a net, they call it net pension liability at the end of the year. As of June 30th, 2015, because we don't have current information. And money, this is my note, not yours, Kevin. We have $7,700,000 that they say Clinton Township owes for the retirees and future retirees of Clinton Township for pension benefits and associated benefits of all of the health benefits, et cetera. So that's a liability that's on the books that we were forced into last year that we have to have a running balance to show what the pension liability is. Thank goodness it's not the TPAF people, professional staff, because that number would be considerably higher because of the number of staff. I'm trying to see which ones are highlighted. Okay, the one area of expense that we may have new coming up in the near future is the cafeteria. Looking at the running balance on that, it's close to a break-even situation. It might be getting close to the point where there will be a deficit. And the audit exhibit for that is on page 94. Now, you don't have to look at it now. It's the G2 exhibit on page 94. I think the exhibit that's going to be, as far as the handout, that's most important for you as board members is the J4 exhibit. The J4 exhibit is on pages 110 and 111 of the audit. That particular exhibit has 10 years of activity, both revenues and expenditures. And as in prior years, what I do here is take out the middle 8 years to see where we are now compared to the year 2007. Taxes are up 25% in that 10-year period of time. When I was looking at the back audits, some people will find it surprising, but I do prepare for these meetings. Since 2010, now don't forget this exhibit goes from 2007 to 2016. I'm saying taxes are up since 2007 by $4,600,000. From 2010 to the present time, taxes are up only $1,384,000. So of that $4,600,000, the last 7 years is only $1,384,000. So the heavy increase that you experienced was in the years, in the first 3 years of the 10-year cycle. Since that point in time, a lot of things have been done here as far as controlling taxes, controlling expenditures. If you look at the expenditure area, I have DG over a lot of the items for expenditures. And look at the state aid for operating also. You're only up 11% in that 10-year period of time, which drives taxation. But as far as expenditures are concerned, most of the increases were in the first 3 or 4 years of the 10-year cycle that we're looking at. One of the things that's difficult in the report is to measure your tuition costs for out-of-district students, because the tuition is recorded more than one place. You'll have it in part of your operating budget, and also you'll have it as part of your grant expenditures. So what I usually look at is back in 2007, where did we spend our tuition money from, and where did we spend it from in 2016. I'm showing for this exhibit a decrease in tuition of 15%. We spent most of our money out of the budget back in 2007 for out-of-district students. Now we're spending a lot of it out of the grant budgets. But even so, our increase in special ed tuition and transportation is only 11% over that 10-year period of time. And the state has gone out of their way, if you will, to identify more and more students as far as the needs that are needed by those particular students. So for taxation, again, I want to continue with the real estate taxes, so you have a lot of arguments. I have to repeat again the 2010 situation with the tax levy, the change over that 7-year period of time only being 6%. For those of you who have copies of the audit with you, there's two exhibits. It's the assessed values on page 113. I probably should have made copies of this for tonight's presentation. I just wanted to tell you where you stand when you're developing your budget. And this is something your business administrators got called anyway. One of the things that you're behind the eight ball on, basically, in Clinton Township and most of the other communities in Huntington County, is your equalized values are down substantially over that 10-year period of time. We're down about 20% in equalized values. This is the amount that the county measures Clinton Township to be worth based on actual sales within the community. What they do is they measure the sale against the assessed value that the town has, and they say what you're really worth. But you look at the J16 exhibit, the value of Clinton Township is $2,151,000, which means when you're developing your budget, every $215,000 represents 1 cent on the tax point. So when you do the budget, you want to compare the benefits to the school district or the benefits of the taxpayer. The 1 cent for the taxpayer, again, $10 on a $100,000 home, for the superintendent to have $215,000 in the back pocket to spend on educational purposes. It's a measuring act that you have to do. It's a tough one. It's something the governing bodies
don't recognize. That's when you had the budget defeats and they cut you down so much money, they didn't realize what they were doing in the magnitude of what they were doing to you, dollar-wise, compared to the impact on the individual taxpayer. So again, that $215,000 is only 1 cent, but it could be a lot of valuable programs here in the district. You have to say?
Right. For comparative purposes, what were the equalized values in 2007?
2007, the equalized were $2,788,000 to $2,239,000 this year. So that's a drop of $548 million.
Okay, thank you.
The next page in the audit, page 114, is the tax rates for the township. We had a revaluation in 2012, so I did two calculations for that particular page. If you look at the tax requirement in 2007 compared to the tax requirement in 2016, taxes went up 54 cents. That was because of the revaluation, primarily because the assessments went down. But looking at the components of the tax, you have four components: school, regional, the town itself, and the county. The school tax is up 24 cents in, from 2007 to 2016. I get better notes for you next. The regional is up 15 cents. And the town is up 17 cents. Now, is that town is up 17 cents over that 10-year period of time compared to your 24 cents? So the blame's going to be on the school. Percentage-wise, the school's up 26%. The town's up 77.
24, 16.
But you're getting the blame because you have more of the pennies. Looking at 2012 to 2016 after the revaluation, percentage-wise, I'll give you, the school in that 5-year period of time, you're up 4.5% over 5 years, so less than 1% in a year, but the town's up 50%. So again, I should have had this last year, but I didn't have it.
Can you, I couldn't hear that percentage on the town. So the district was up 4.5%, is that what you said?
Yeah, if you look at, you'll have the order.
I don't have it with me now.
Oh, I should have brought, you didn't do your homework. remember page 114. Okay. I'll tell you what numbers to look for, but it's on page 114. It's a page that has numbers going across, and it's each component of the tax rates identified by the tax rate. 2012 was the revaluation year.
I got all that. I just didn't hear your percentages.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
The school, it went from $1.11 to $1.16 for a 5 cent change over that period of time, or 4.5%. The town went from 26 cents to 39, a 13 cent increase. Now the 13 cents divided by the 26 cents gives you a 50% increase. Even though the dollar amount, actually the dollar amount this time is higher than the school was. So the effort that's being made here in the last 5-7 years has been real positive. But it's all in the book, we just have to know where to pull it out. And another thing that you've done, for those of you who have the audit reports, on page 123, these are all things that the state makes us put into the report, but they're really meaningful, showing what efforts have been made by the various school districts. Back in 2000, this is the full-time equivalent employees. 2007 is before this school came online. 2008, I think it came in, we had 262 employees. This year we had 249. The biggest increase in that period of time was, of course, the plant operations and maintenance. It went from 16 people to 30. But if you look at the other areas of instruction, or even administration, everything is down because of the reduction in the student enrollment and in the effort to maintain taxes. So all that's in the book, just have to basically know where to look for it. But if, again, most of these things are positives, real positives in there. just disappointed I didn't have them the way I had them tonight last year. Mm-hmm. It would have helped a little bit more, hopefully. But again, the audience is not here this year, so things are looking good. All right, Fred, any questions?
Any questions?
Yeah, a couple.
Yeah.
So most of the things that you're looking at, you say are positive. So yeah.
Kevin, can you please speak?
Yeah, sorry. Most of the things you're saying are positive trends. Let's talk about, you mentioned cafeteria,
yeah.
Right? So that's one thing, and we, that's on us, and we can change that ourselves by, yeah, by level setting costs. What about other potential? You mentioned that we've got the PERS pension liability we got to account for. What about other short and intermediate term negative trends? Can you identify and talk about some of those?
I don't know if it's a negative trend here that's different than other school districts. You're very consistent with the other clients that we have, the townships, as far as student population. All of them were down around the 20-25% range. What some of the other districts aren't doing that you are is the reduction in other costs.
Mm-hmm.
They're not responding maybe as quickly or as dynamically as you have.
Okay.
The reduction in teaching staff. There's been a reduction in the business office, probably. Right here in front of me. Central services is one employee less. Things like that. The regular instruction is from 141 down to 91.
Gotcha.
So we lost 20% of our kids. We also have shown a reduction in teaching staff and mm-hmm. things of that nature. Transportation is down because of it naturally, but some of the other schools are not making the same reaction that you have in consolidation, if you will.
A couple other quick questions, I'm sorry, and then I'll stop. But I was off the board, now I'm back on the board. I'm glad to hear that we're managing our tuition very well.
I'm not particularly glad about that, only because, you mean tuition out. I'm worried.
Correct, tuition out.
Because I live in Lebanon Borough.
No, tuition out was a material problem. And it sounds like from your report that this board and prior boards have done a pretty good job sort of right-sizing that. So I'm glad to hear that. And then my other comment was, in prior reports when I've been back here, you usually make some sort of comment about how we're managing our surplus. And I was wondering if you could make a comment on that tonight.
We kind of talked about it before.
Yeah, most specifically, I remember you in past years reminding us to keep an eye on it.
Yeah, well, you did keep an eye on it, but the only problem is you spent a lot of it this year on capital-related items that had to be spent on in the maintenance area also.
Right.
But still sitting with a surplus basically of $2 million after we take out that liability for the teachers is a positive situation. You're just going to have to build it again for future needs of the district in the areas of capital. Now, you did have a substantial balance in previous years, but this just happens. This is the particular year that you used it.
Right.
We took out during the year, I'm glad I did this actually, I put numbers down. In the capital reserve this year, we used $1,525,000 in the capital reserve money that was included in your budget for capital projects. Now, because you had the money in your back pocket, you saved the taxpayer 7 cents because you had the money already. You had the maintenance reserve of $275,000 that you used in the budget. That was about 1.3 cents. So that's almost 9 cents
mm-hmm.
that you saved the taxpayers because you had the money. You didn't have to go to referendum to get approval from the taxpayers.
Final question, and then I'll let the rest of the board speak. I'm sorry, guys. So at our current balance after the capital outlay, understanding that, right, so by having that surplus means we don't have to go to referenda, as you say. Our current balance, would you say that, in your own opinion, does that need to maybe start building back up?
Only because of the fact that you used so much this year.
Right.
$800,000 is not bad. I'm not particularly sure what the status of your schools are. I think you have the one old school in the Garen building, the one on the hill right up over here. It's the second oldest, I guess.
Yeah.
This building is fine. It's only 9 years old. In the other building, you had the larger expansion on, I think, it was a couple of years ago. So looking at those things, I think they're relatively good shape right now. You should be all right, but you will be, I'm sure, building it again.
Okay, so that's very helpful. Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Colantano this evening?
I had a question about healthcare costs.
Go ahead.
You mentioned on the first page that the increase for employee benefits was around 5%. I think, if I'm looking at that correctly.
That was on B2?
On B2. The unallocated employment benefits.
Yeah, that's a 5%. That's a health increase,
right,
primarily.
I was curious how that relates to other districts that you work with. Is that trending
up? It's slowing down. Most of the other districts are around 5%, they're a little bit higher.
Okay.
So that's not too terribly bad at all. The one item that was extremely good was your instructional area being down $602,000. That was a huge decrease last year.
Thanks.
Any other questions? Mr. Colantano, thank you very much. It was great to see you
again.
I'm
sorry we got here late, and I know we didn't want to interrupt your full session.
Oh, it's fine. It's fine. Thank you
Everybody
very much.
Everybody left. They were so upset.
I know.
Have a safe drive home.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And thanks for the invitation back again. I like coming back. It means we still have you for a client. It's great.
Always welcome.
So, Madam President, right now you would need a motion to resume the executive session for the aforestated reasons.
May I have a motion to resume
motion.
The executive session? Ms. Miller?
You do.
May I get a second, please?
Second.
Roll call or all in favor?
You can do all in favor.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? You're now back in executive session.
Your second.
Looking for a motion to reconvene the meeting?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
9:38. Look, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? All in favor to adjourn the meeting?
Aye.
Looking for a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Motion.
A second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Meeting is adjourned.